Thank you, Brother Jack, Brother Jerry, Gary, and brethren. We bring you the love and greetings from the brethren in Oakland County Bible Students where we meet, and via Zoom, the brethren from Toronto meet with us, and others internationally, more or less, if you will. And I'm sure it's just like each of you who have Zoom have it in your own home ecclesias. And then some ecclesias have international flavor right in their midst, Chicago being a good example of that. But Ruth is with me, and Sister Marilee and Brother Godwin traveled with us as well, and we rejoice to be here. We do thank our Lord God Almighty for the opportunity of sharing some thoughts with you, and we do thank the brethren here in Chicago for inviting it. Communication and Information Sources, Part 2. We did speak on this subject earlier, this summer, as it were, but this is probably 50% different. We're speaking fast to fit in the time, and so if you're the type that are taking notes and it seems a little overwhelming, send me an email. I'm happy to send you a copy. Don't struggle with that. Since the beginning of the time of the end in 1799, the human race has been on a rapidly developing treadmill of inventions in every aspect of society, industry, science, and technology. It has dramatically changed how people communicate and receive information. However, it has not always been for good in the hands of fallen humans. The so-called fourth industrial revolution marks our day of digital logic, integrated circuits, computers, microprocessors, cellular phones, and the internet. This has opened the doors wide for space exploration, biotechnologies, nanodevices, microchips that continue to increase in complexity and capabilities, robotics, 3D printers, and artificial intelligence. Some people argue that we are actually entering into a fifth industrial revolution, if you will, the cyber revolution. One that will be characterized by unpredictable advances in AI, virtual reality, and perhaps AGI, artificial general intelligence. AGI is an as yet undeveloped, that we know of, system designed to perform cognitive computations much like our human brains do. It's the speed at which these AI systems function and reach conclusions that has at times reduced research by years compared to just humans doing the computations. Even with all the wonderful benefits that are already transpiring and those that can be imagined, there are negatives, due largely to fallen humans with ambitions for monetary gain, power, and influence, as well as the interference of Satan and the fallen angels, the God, little g, of this world, in all the affairs of mankind during this time of evil dispensation. As AI grows more sophisticated and widespread, the voices warning against the potential dangers of artificial intelligence grow louder. I'm going to quote here from Geoffrey Hinton. Geoffrey Hinton is known as the godfather of AI, and he has spent as much of his life working on machine learning and neural network algorithms, the foundation of how AI works. But here's his quote. These things could get more intelligent than us and could decide to take over, and we need to worry about how we're going to prevent that from happening now, end of quote. So this isn't Rick Cunningham's idea. This is the man who helped create AI. Well, let's talk more about that. In 2023, just this year, the same Geoffrey Hinton left his position at Google so that he could, quote, talk about the dangers of AI. Noting, a part of him even, quote, regrets his life's work. So I take that as powerful. The renowned computer scientist isn't alone in his concerns. Tesla and SpaceX founder Elon Musk, along with over 1,000 other tech leaders, urged in a 2023 open letter to put a pause on large AI experiments, citing that the technology can pose, quote, profound risk to society and humanity. Now, they outline some of the risks. Again, this isn't me. This is them. One, automation spurred job loss. Now, I'm throwing this in here. You know that there was just a recently ended actors and writers union strike. Part of what they were striking over was protections against AI programming taking away part of their jobs. Deepfakes. Photo and voice fakes might wreak havoc on both news sources and people at large who might feel that they can no longer trust what they see or what they hear. This could easily affect various election outcomes. Now, I'm going to interject here something I happened to see on the Internet a little while ago, just looking at my simple Internet browser. They had a deepfake. It was the former president, Donald Trump, being wrestled to ground by police outside of a courthouse. It was a day in which he was going to have to appear in court for one of these legal things. But the thing was, when you saw it, it looked like it was just like the former president, Donald Trump, being wrestled down by police. If they didn't have a caption underneath it, this is an example of a deep fake. I wouldn't have known the difference just being a casual viewer. So I thought that was pretty remarkable. Another point, algorithms bias caused by bad data. The time is here that machine-based judgments augmented by possibly faulty data can be used against people in a wide variety of ways, resulting in loss of insurance, employment, or work advancements. It might adversely affect financial issues, including being able to obtain loans or scholarships or mortgages, etc. Then there are privacy violations they bring out. AI tools that collect biometric information. Biometric means biological measurement. Biometric information from any form of cameras, including certain apps on your cell phone, closed-circuit TV security systems, and any available video. As we know, our world is largely already covered by some type of camera, including even Ring doorbells and cell phone video. You've seen that. You've seen that just in casual news. The police will be looking for someone who perpetrated a crime, and they're picking up the video feed off a Ring doorbell camera, seeing a car hijacked right in front of a house, for example. Well, that's video feed. Okay. Marketplace volatility. AI programs are already being used by financial institutions, including automated stock trading. This is considered safe, and things are considered safe until it isn't. As we're all left to, we're often made aware when sophisticated hackers take control over various supposedly secure data systems. Another item of concern they mention is weapons automation. That means we're already on, have weapon systems that are being controlled by AI systems, and they're being carried out, their functions. It has human oversight at this point, but their concern is that what if it ever isn't? Now, the way the AI works on weapon systems is based on algorithms that have been created, so overseen by human input. But they're trying to make things happen so fast that they're letting machines control machines. The human element gets removed, especially as there's fewer humans available to monitor and manage the oversight of all the various AI systems, which they're fully integrated into these various aspects, this one being weapon systems. And lastly, uncontrolled self-aware AI. Now, this is something that's probably still future, but as I said, we're not really sure what all is available, and I think that's why these voices of ones like Jeffrey and Elon are saying we should put a pause until this is better understood. Now, just to show how serious this is, in December this December, earlier this month. In fact, I'm looking here. It's December 8th of this month, this year. The European Union already passed, quote, Artificial Intelligence Act. It will go into effect next year and in 2025. It's phased in. Now, to put it very briefly, the EU AI Act makes a distinction between AI high-risk systems and those that pose little to no threat. I'm just going to list what they felt were high-risk systems. Now, this is what the EU Act is incorporated and trying to oversee. One, biometric categorization systems that use sensitive characteristics such as political, religious, philosophical beliefs, sexual orientation, and race. They want that limited, regulated. Second item. Untargeted scraping of facial images from the internet or any closed-circuit TV footage to create facial recognition databases. Now, that's already being used to a certain extent, but the EU, they're saying they want to regulate these AI systems on that. Thirdly, this is interesting, emotion recognition in the workplace and educational institution. Emotion recognition. What do they want to know about someone's emotion in a workplace or other environment? If someone seems like they're getting extremely excited in a negative way, they want to be able to target that and make the proper authorities on scene aware of that to try to circumvent, sadly, mass shootings and these other things that are becoming so predominant. Fourth item. Social scoring based on social behavior or personal characteristics. And this number five really got my attention, and I think you'll see why. AI systems that manipulate human behavior to circumvent their free will. That sounds powerful, doesn't it? Number six, AI used to exploit the vulnerabilities of people due to their age, disability, social, or economic situation. Well, those were the six high-risk AI systems they want to regulate. But I want to make a note. This just passed December 8th. We don't have that in the United States. They don't have it in China. They don't have it in Russia. Now, some feel that's going to give, without regulation, that's going to give these countries, including the U.S., greater liberty to try to get these AI systems advanced before the regulations start to take hold and limiting. Now, remember, most of this is motivated by money. Somehow it always gets back to money or power. And in the end, that's in the hands of fallen humans. Now, we want to dial in a focus on how many different ways people are communicating and receiving information. Today, people text, call, and email. Distance is not a factor. You send photos and videos. People communicate and take in information through blogs, Twitter, I mean X, Facebook, YouTube, radio, TV, cable, websites, TikTok, newspaper, magazines, both paper and electronic, and on and on and on. People have become so engrossed with their large screens, medium screens, and small screens that legislatures have enacted laws prohibiting or severely limiting the use of such devices while driving and in some work and school environments. Distracted people are dangerous people. It's of an epidemic proportion. You know, more people are killed crossing the street than ever before. It's not just the person who's looking at something. The drivers are looking at something. They're not looking at each other. However, one of the ironies, brethren, is that as more means of communication become available, the more isolated and lonely many people feel. This is especially true among the younger generations, but for some young and old, Facebook has become a sad source of a trial of comparison, leading some to forego using it all together in order to give themselves greater peace. Now, regarding Facebook, someone once quipped, I thought it was really good, it's like the life's highlight reel. No one really puts up the bad things, they put up the good things. So when other people see that, they compare their life to theirs, highlight reel, and it can be discouraging. Well, Strangely, human-to-human, face-to-face communication with politeness, civility, manners, sincere listening, and courtesy is sadly fading away. You know, when you don't use skills, you lose those skills. And when the next generation who's lost those skills, by and large, they aren't there to teach them to their children, it gets ever more remotely in the distance. However, I have to interject something to the translators. I'm sorry. I want to interject something. We just read this. And that is that 4 out of 10 businesses, when they do hiring interviews, they're declining hiring new graduates out of the schools. They're declining. 4 out of 10. Why? Because on the interviews, they don't give eye-to-eye contact with the interviewer. And they feel if they can't have eye-to-eye contact with the interviewer, they're not going to fit well into their workplace environment, because the eye-to-eye contact is every bit as important as the verbal contact. So I thought that was interesting. They didn't say why it's that way, but I think we can put it together. Let's move on to sources of information. Information, by a strict definition, should be factual. However, in today's world, information sometimes presented as fact, in reality, is not. This is a huge problem, and it's compounding the current state of chaos in society. News is supposed to be information presented to the public on current events. However, news sources have in the past been presented by businesses like newspapers, TV stations, magazines, and radio. These are for-profit endeavors and had certain legal guardrails to keep them from reporting inaccurately. Now, other sources of news or information have been governments, either from the leadership or various departments of government. These, too, are supposed to be the most reliable, but sadly, once again, it's not always the case. The more corrupt the government, the less likely the news is accurate. Even in a democracy such as the USA, an indisputable example was how, during the Vietnam War, what was going on was seriously misrepresented to the public and was only found out later, including the bombings in Laos and Thailand and so forth. Another powerful example of a religious political news source was a TV, and is a TV station, that was started in the 1970s by a Baptist minister, Pat Robertson, who recently passed away. He called it Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN. Now, this station hosted the 700 Club. The long-running show combined evangelizing, including faith healing, with political talk and some news. He became so popular, some of you younger ones here aren't even going to know about this, in 1998 he ran for president, and he came in second in the Iowa caucus. But he ran out of money, ran out of steam, and that was the end of that. However, he created the Christian Coalition, which is credited with helping to influence the Republican Party on social issues up to this very day. Yet, in the very recent past, a rather new phenomenon has developed in what people take in or receive information from non-traditional sources, often via the Internet or various cable stations. Sometimes it's very difficult to find out if the information or news provider has a specific agenda or is just engaging in their presentation in order to make money. Some possible information sources can be religious or political advocacy groups, corporations, even hostile governments, and so on and on and on. A few newer terms to help demonstrate this problem that you'll be familiar with: these infomercials, infotainment, infowars, fake news, or fake news that actually is factual. Then we have our influencers. Now, I liken influencers to like lobbyists. They're lobbying, they're using their influence to lobby people to promote something that either they're getting paid to promote, okay, we understand that, or on some agenda that they're promoting in order to gain more viewers, whereby then advertisers will want to put ads in with what they are influencing regarding. However, in today's world, we've almost grown to accept these things. And that can be a little dangerous for ourselves. Long gone are the days of the evening news with Walter Cronkite. Rather, it's real-time news 24 hours a day, 365 a year, not just a handful of news reporters from a few more or less trusted service, but rather thousands of voices from hundreds of sources. With all of the foregoing, it isn't hard to understand how and why people today are so confused and bewildered. Many people have chosen their particular news sources or personalities, and they do not expose themselves to any other sources. What might have been considered fringe sources in the past have become the only source for some. At times, the more caustic the presentation of the information is, the more some are inclined to believe it. The recent COVID pandemic, along with political divisions, has exposed and accentuated many differences of strong opinion in society worldwide. And this, too, has led to a dramatic increase in people accepting, quote, conspiracy theories. Now, I want to say that some conspiracy theories are not without merit. However, many are put forth with very flimsy information, being presented in play more to people's emotions rather than to their reasoning. It is suggested that many people are drawn to and accept conspiracy theories because it helps them give a sense of peace and control in a world that they don't understand. Now, with this background, brethren, we want to try to put this into context for us as new creatures. What is our number one source of information? It's from God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. What's the number one way that He has communicated His information to us? Through His Word, the Scriptures, the Bible. And this includes Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets. What's the second way? Through His Holy Spirit in our minds and our hearts. Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. And again in Hebrews 10:32, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our minds and in our hearts. What's a third way? The Apostle Paul tells us from Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what has been a fourth means for us, living at this end of the gospel age, has been the meat in due season, the harvest message, present truth, the Laodicean message. Yet how few actually receive the Bible as the source of true information, and even for those who do, how few correctly understand what God is trying to communicate to them. It is even as Jesus said in Matthew 13:11-16, He, Jesus, answered and said unto them, His disciples, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because for seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now this might lead some to surmise that God's message to His creatures has been a miserable failure. But as so often the case, people misjudge God by His unfinished plan. To put this plainly, God has been successfully communicating through His sources the information that's necessary for His people. At the appointed time, during His plan of the ages, living at this time, the sequence for an understanding is refreshingly clear. To those who first have the right heart condition and seek to know him, he leads to his word. And then through his word, to his son Jesus. Then to those who accept Jesus as their redeemer, they are further instructed as to what discipleship means and what it costs. To those who continue to pursue their heart interest in the Lord God Almighty and of being a footstep follower of Jesus, the high calling invitation is extended and they become spirit-begotten children of God. Now they are enlightened of mind, and their continual study and reflection in the Word of God and His divine plan of the ages is their means of communication with their Father, and it becomes our source of true information. This becomes life-changing information as each one endeavors to transform their minds, their way of thinking and reasoning to be in harmony with God's ways. To these new creatures in Christ Jesus, all things become new. They are free indeed. We are free indeed. We trust not to our own consciences. Rather, we educate our consciences from God's instructions. In harmony with this, we learn to filter out all the unprofitable and contradictory worldly news and information. We are to learn more and more how to discern between that which is accurate, that which is in harmony with what we have studied, and what we have found through our educational experiences in the narrow way. It's very instructional to us how little we read that Jesus or the apostles paid much attention to the great Roman Empire or to Jewish politics. It is not that they were unaware, but rather they knew that they were but ambassadors, being citizens of a heavenly country. When Jesus was asked about paying tribute or taxes to Caesar, he asked for a coin of the tribute money, and then he asked them whose image was on it. They replied, Caesar's, to which he responded, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. Matthew 22:17. Brethren, how refreshing and liberating it is to you and I that Jesus did not go into a long diatribe or debate on how the money might be used. What was the Roman Empire going to do with my tax denarius? Let it be with the world what the world will do. Similarly, when Jesus was before the highest ranking Roman representative in Israel, Pontius Pilate, he responded to his question that his kingdom was not of this world. Plain and simple. As the apostle stated it, we are to obey the laws of man unless it conflict with the laws of our God. We recognize that Satan, in fact, for now, has been allowed to blind the minds of the people in the world. But thank the Lord that it will not always be so. For those in the world, the communication of the true information of God's ways is still in the future, during the mediatorial phase of God's kingdom. To put this in another way, we have learned that it's not God's intention to convert the world now, in this life, except for those relatively few throughout history who have entered into a covenant relationship with him. So it should not be confusing to us that there are so many contradictory sources of information in the world, including false and erroneous information regarding God's word and plans. As the apostle Paul wrote, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. 2 Corinthians 11. Yet it can be challenging for us, his consecrated people, to grapple with the onslaught of so many news sources that are presenting themselves to us. For part of our information from God's word in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 reads, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now just here we learn through other studies, the summarizing them, that when Jesus returned in 1874, it was during the symbolic sounding of the seventh trumpet of present truth. We learn that Earth's grand antitypical jubilee trumpet had started sounding from October 1874, and indeed, the results of this great shout of encouragement for the oppressed masses of mankind, and it began the restitution of all things without the blood applied. The blood applied will come after the gospel age is complete, after all the spirit begotten have been dealt with, including the great company, so that the one price of Christ's perfect human life, the ransom price, can then be paid out once for Adam. The spirit begotten no longer needing to have borrowed against it, to have it imputed to them, that we could then have something we could offer unto the Lord. So, the times of restitution, I'm not going to be able to prove this, but I'm suggesting it. Times plural is because there's two times of the period of restitution. Starting in 1874, that was restitution without the blood. And we've seen all the tremendous new freedoms and relief from the sweat of the human brow, but still with fallen human problems. But then there's the second times, the latter times of restitution, when the blood is applied. And that's when the highway of holiness will be opened up. And that will be the time of the iron rule. Well, sin will be restricted. Times of restitution. Well, we're in this time when we're still seeing all these shouts of rights, legitimate and fancied, going forth. Brother Russell writes in the second volume, page 146, quote, outburst of worldwide encouragement for all men to wake up to a sense of their rights and privileges as men and to consider their mutual relationships, the principles upon which they are based, and the ends which they should accomplish. Where on the face of the earth is a civilized nation that has not heard of this shout and is not influenced by it? The entire civilized world has, in the past few years, been studying political economy, civil rights, social liberties as never before in the annals of history, and men are encouraging each other and being encouraged as never before to probe these subjects to the very foundations. The shout of encouragement started by the increase of knowledge among men has already encircled the earth, and under its influence, men are banding themselves together, encouraged and assisted by men of brain and genius to contend and strive for both real and fancied rights and liberties. And as their organizations increase and multiply, the shout grows louder and longer and will by and by result, as foretold, in the great time of trouble and tumult of angry nations. End of quote. Are we seeing this shouting increasing as men of brain and genius increase the means by which these various cries for liberty can be proclaimed throughout the world? And we're saying, yes, they can. And yes, they are. And the supposed liberties have created such an environment that we have such things as a transgender revolution that has caused great confusion amongst people, even in the highest levels of government and academia, how to contend with these issues. But when you are out of sorts due to sin with the Lord's standards and arrangements, of course it's going to make it confusing. But the real answer will come when everyone recognizes the one true source of information and the means by which it alone will be communicated. More on that in a moment. This verse and the observations on it of Brother Russell concerning his day have only increased and been magnified in this our day. With increasing knowledge comes increasing discontent, anger, and indignation. However, for us, brethren, who are blessed with the true information, we've been foretold in Scripture that it was to be so in the latter days. The fact that these increases are so dramatic, the prophesied birth pangs, only continue to confirm our faith in God's plan. These continued shoutings are doing the work of preparing the Lord's great army, Joel 2:11. But we're not to be part of that army. Jesus told us we're to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, a brother put it very nicely. He put it this way. We are to be informed, but not involved. That's the ambassador's position. This can be very challenging at times, brethren. Perhaps those unconsecrated around us, family, friends, co-workers, fellow students and neighbors, may be very vocal or opinionated on different issues that we as new creatures avoid, realizing that the Lord has a specific time when every and all questions on every subject will be answered and made plain. Now, we want to share a very recent experience in this regard. I was putting out tracts in our neighborhood, and our mailboxes are out by the street. So I'm putting the tracts between the mailbox and the little red flag you put up if you've got mail in there to alert the mailman. So I'm not putting it in the mailbox. Now, I came across a mailbox that flag was broken, so I couldn't put a tract there. But the Lord overruled, and as I was going on to the next mailbox, a couple came walking down that very driveway of the one with the broken mailbox, and I offered them a tract with a smile, and I said, "Good news from the Word of God." And with some excitement, that startled me, they took the tract. And we stood there, and we talked for a few moments. They were very, very nice. First, they told me that they too were Christians and that they also made efforts to share Jesus with others. They asked me about where I met and what church I belonged to. And as I explained that we try to fashion ourselves after the early church as best we can, that we do not have a building, that we have no paid ministry, we do not take up a collection. Rather, we study the Bible and try to share the truth we find in His Word with anyone who will have a hearing ear. The woman then asked me, with some enthusiasm, "Are you voting for Donald Trump?" I replied, "No, I do not vote, because long ago I voted once, and that was for Jesus." I went on to say, voting is a matter of personal liberty. I went on to tell them about what the tract contained. It was one of these little, we call them the yes tracts because of the positive message. Will pain and sorrow ever end? Yes. So I went on to explain to them about the tract, but lo and behold, she then wanted to know, "Are you going to vote for Joe Biden?" At that, I had to chuckle. I said, "No, not voting for Joe Biden either. The vote for once is for all time." Now, with all of that, we try to explain how it is a matter of personal liberty. And then the gentleman asked me, he said, "Is this a group conviction?" And I said, "No, it's not. Every individual has the liberty to decide for themselves if they are going to vote or not." However, as we try to demonstrate, we try to fashion and educate our conscience according to Scripture. Jesus told us, "A kingdom's not of this world." So it settles it for me, and I trust it settles it for you. They then asked me if I was a Jehovah's Witness. And I assured them I wasn't. But then as we went on, we exchanged phone numbers, we shared a few texts about trying to get together, and in the end, they ended up ghosting me. And I felt that that was all right, because I told them, no pressure. We're looking for those who are seeking. Yet, on the track, I'm pretty confident they probably visited the website, read a little more detail, and recognized that if she's interested in voting for Donald Trump, she's really not going to find the type of arrangement meeting with Oakland County Bible students. But who knows? We leave it there. Even though it is true that voting is an individual matter, it has always seemed to me that after someone read the first volume, Divine Plan of the Ages, the chapter and study entitled The Kingdoms of This World, and then the one following it, The Kingdom of God, no one would want to take the time to try to support any earthly governments that we are scripturally informed are in the process of being removed to make way for the incoming kingdom. Another simple way of looking at it found in Daniel 2, verse 46, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Dear brethren, if any of us find ourselves being emotionally drawn into promoting or advocating in any sense a political party or political candidate, either in our conversations, Facebook postings, or other avenues of social media, it would be good to once again study the subject and ask ourselves, am I being the best ambassador for my king and my heavenly country? I humbly suggest rereading The Divine Plan of the Ages, pages 262, subheading, Present Governments from Another Standpoint. It's only 10 pages long. If there is a topic for the new creature to address, we submit, it would be spiritual or religious hypocrisy. This is what Jesus spoke out against. This is what we as new creatures are scripturally authorized to speak out on. We are to identify and expose false, man-made doctrines that dishonor our God and dishonor our Lord Jesus. This is the sort of truth that Jesus said he would come with, and that it would at times even cause divisions within a family. Matthew 10:34. The sword represents truth, true information from the number one source of true information, God's Word. We are to communicate it with love, in love, even when we are strongly opposed. Another important aspect regarding communication and information is prophecy. Prophecy is an integral part of God's Word, so we should try to correctly understand it. If it is past, fulfilled already, then it's much easier to identify. For example, we can look back on First Advent prophecies that Jesus fulfilled as proof of his Messiahship, from events surrounding his birth, his ministry, and his death. We have fulfilled prophecies on numerous events during the Gospel Age, including this harvest period. Trying to interpret current or future prophecies is difficult, but that does not mean they should be avoided. One reason God provides prophecies is to assist his people at different times in understanding his plans. We are to use our true sources of information on prophecy to interpret new sources. It's unwise to try to conform true prophecies to possibly faulty news sources. If we are not able to adequately interpret a prophecy, then it is most likely not yet fulfilled. Brethren, it's our humble observation that we brethren as a whole are more and more often choosing to get our news and information from widely divergent sources, often in conflict one with another. This has created some challenges for us all. Some differences are of a personal nature, for instance, health, finance, family, relationship, to name a few. And as Christians, we have personal liberty in making our choices. However, we need to be very careful not to overly state or stress or impose our decisions upon others of our brethren. This might be especially true in regard to current governmental policies and actions. You might not think that such worldly conflicts would affect us as Christian brethren, but at times it seems to have seeped into our broader fellowship. Let us try to be circumspect in our influence upon others. We may not realize how we might be coming across. Perhaps we might take some time to look back on our day or on our week and ask ourselves, what have I been reading? What have I been listening to? And what have I been talking about? As we reflect on our past week or so, it's helpful to discern between that news that we take in that is rather general and is not particularly controversial, as opposed to news that might have stirred up an emotional response in us. It is these latter items that might move us to have overly expressed ourselves to others. It may be that it is information that we as new creatures should not be concerning ourselves with. The current communication and information atmosphere in America and the world at large is negative, suspicious, accusative, slanderous, and hateful. This is contrary to the fruits of the Spirit. For some of us, we might need to practice self-discipline in how much of this information from the world we're taking in or spending time on. We are what we consume. Moderation in all things is sound advice for each of us. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us the admonitions in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. In this verse, Paul gives us 8 guidelines for what would be profitable things for us to think on, dwell on. Many of you are very familiar with the reprint entitled Right Habits of Thought, reprint 4826. Brother Russell starts the article on this note, quote, referring to the great influence of the mind over the body, Paul lays down certain rules for thinking. For as a man thinketh, so he will become. The more he thinks on good things, the better he will be. The more he thinks on evil things, the more evil he will be. The things we think about, the apostle says, should be honorable, just, praiseworthy, beautiful. If a thing has none of these qualities, the Lord's people should not think on them at all. A wonderful transformation of character is effected by thinking on things which have wisdom and depth of instruction, those things which come from no one else but God. End of quote. Further along, he states, we should think about what we are doing, about what we are thinking, should not allow our thoughts to ramble. People who do so are not keeping themselves under proper grip. End of quote. If we find we're not thinking along proper lines, perhaps by taking in too much of the news of the world, then let us say to ourselves, get a grip. Now, we'd like to consider a very important and amazing event in Scripture. It's the Tower of Babel. This comes from Genesis, the 11th chapter. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed eastward, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, let us go and make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. They said, let's go to and build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heavens. And let us make a name. Let us be lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down, to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, let us confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, confusion. Because the Lord there confounded the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. End of quotes. What a life-altering world event this was. The pride and vanity of mankind was so prominent that they decided to take matters into their own hands after the flood of Noah's day, instead of seeking after and relying on their Creator for their well-being. The Lord had a stunning strategy. He miraculously diversified their speech so they could not understand one another. They, in fact, became like foreigners to each other. They could no longer work or live together, so began a great migration to distant lands. As implied, this inability to communicate inevitably greatly slowed both their iniquitous behavior and their growth in knowledge. And God meant it for their good. Now, our dear brother Ken Rawson brought out a beautiful lesson in this regard, in the booklet, Speaking in Tongues. There he presents the thought that at Pentecost, when the apostles were given the miraculous gift of being able to speak in a wide variety of foreign languages, and if you count them, there were, I think, 14 different languages, it was in effect reversing what God had done at the Tower of Babel. This reversal allowed the Christians to effectively communicate the gospel. to different people of the Roman Empire that they came in contact with. This enabled the disciples to share and explain the number one true source of truth, the Bible. This would eventually allow for the high calling to go forth to all nations as Jesus had commanded us. God intended this ability to communicate for his new creation. However, it was not yet time for a universal reversal of his disruption of communication. As time progressed, disciples could learn foreign languages in the traditional way. And in fact, we still do to this day. And we all well know how our faithful, sacrificing brothers and sisters translate numerous discourses and lessons for the brethren worldwide. This gives us our international group communication. Now, along with the prophesied increase of knowledge, humans are to some extent overcoming the disruption that God had put in place for our good. The startling increase of communications and information, both good and bad, among all peoples, has resulted in the foretold condition of increasing discontent, sinfulness, and trouble. Just like God had said back at the Tower of Babel would happen unless he intervened. However, it is the time for it to be so. As the end of this old order hastens along and God has designed it, but we want to be quick to observe, it is still not yet time for God's promised pure language for the people. But soon. Now let us look to the future of communication and information from a few prophetic scriptures. Zephaniah 3:9. For then, and that is, after the great time of trouble, will I turn to the people, to the entire human family, a pure language, the truth of the divine plan of the ages, that they may all call on the name of the Lord, all that are willing and obedient, those walking up the highway of holiness, to serve him with one consent. Yes, the very essence of this verse is that God intends to effectively communicate true and factual information to all. That will be the time when God will reverse the disruption of languages for all people. It's the time to restore and unite the bewildered and worn down human family, tired of sin and confusion. Yes, the pure language, truth on every subject, truth-corrected history, truth-corrected science, truth-corrected morality, truth-corrected faith, truth-corrected social understanding. Gone will be all the man-made ideologies, theologies, and social structures. All of these will be demonstrated to have been flawed and misleading, motivated largely by self-interest and greed. We want to consider another set of well-known scriptures that describe the same blessed time in the future. You're so familiar with them. Isaiah 35:8-10. But listen to it from this perspective of communication and information. A highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it'll be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This highway represents a way of life and learning that is elevated above fallen mankind's paths and methods. It's a way of holiness. Yes, if the true instructions from God are absorbed into the heart and acted upon in people's daily lives, in the peaceable phase of the kingdom, then it will lead to everlasting human life. Not even the unlearned shall unintentionally be led astray, because at that time there will only be positive and truthful communication of information on every subject. No lion will be there, for Satan will have been completely bound. No ravenous beast will be allowed there, for all earthly institutions from the old heaven and the old earth will have been exposed as faulty and so removed. The ransom price will have been paid out, and the great mediator, the Christ, shall be in complete control. It will be a time of light and no darkness, as depicted in the great east-west valley of Zechariah 14. Yet we have learned that after a time of favor and blessing, the Lord allows for one more final testing of the restored human family. And this we read in Revelation, the 20th chapter, 7 through 9. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the numbers from whom shall be as the sand of the sea. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. In God's great wisdom, he allows Satan to one more time, as he did in Eden at the beginning, go forth on a worldwide scale to communicate false, misleading information designed to create a rebellion amongst those of restored mankind that will not allow self-interest, that will allow self-interest to adversely affect their reasoning. It reveals a weakness of character that is the result of their omitting to have positively engaged in loving, selfless conduct during the time that the highway of holiness was transpiring. In God's wisdom and mercy, these are destroyed from among the vast majority of the obedient human family, experiencing the second death, oblivion. After having every possible opportunity, they demonstrate that they really were not happy and content in a just and loving society. Since that is all that there will be at that time, they're permanently excused. It's here that we would like to suggest the lovely expression found in Isaiah 14:7, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They burst forth into singing. What a beautiful, simple expression of what the entire groaning creation is longing for. It takes us to a time beyond the veil of tears, beyond the Armageddon crash, beyond the process of the restitution work, a time beyond the final testing and the everlasting destruction of the great enemy Satan and all that followed him. It'll be a time when every knee will bow, every heart, every heart, head will bow to the Lord God Almighty and to his Son, the Lamb that had been slain. They will sing, "Worthy, worthy are thee of all praise, glory, and honor." The entirety of God's creation will be quiet in the sense of no turmoil or commotion, no crying, no mourning. All will be content, happy, and at peace. They burst forth into singing.